Blog Talk Radio.
You know, I'm so glad that phase out my nine's in the gutter. Quickly, because these playoffs really, really, really have made me hate the goal song. I really, really. What the hell are they doing in Chicago?
I think we all hate that goal song, unless you're Blackhawks.
Blackhawks. Welcome to another, we're going to get into that in a second. Welcome to another edition of Obey the Puck. I am the host, the above average comedian, Dan, the man. I was given those nicknames. I did not give them to me, myself, Cala Chico. With me as always,
the angry spatula, Kelly.
Thank you.
I just want to be known by my nickname.
The angry spatula?
Yeah.
So if somebody walks up to you, go, hey, Spatch.
I'll go, who are you?
Well, at least you answered to it.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, Spatch?
At Skid Central.
I'm just going to call you Spatch for now.
On the Twitter.
Can I call you Spatch?
Sure. Why not?
And with us, going to be, as always, our co-hosts with the most, Paul. I'm just going to call him Puckman Baker because it's Puckman RI at Twitter. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yes, we're on the same page. Hey, while we're watching the play, did anybody see I don't know if they only showed it on the CBC airing, but the last time the Penguins, well, it was last night when the Penguins and the Rangers played, the footage of Bialsma getting stuck in his face by his own team?
I heard the story. I didn't see any footage.
Oh, it was bloody, man.
Canada covers that, man. They had in-depth high-def film.
See, I'm stuck with the American feed here, even though I live, you know, just a couple hours away from the Canada border.
I will show you, I will tell you our trick off air. I'll just say that.
Tricks. I like tricks.
Yes, yeah, it's a nice trick. It's a trick. Let's just say that. So anyway, the goal song, why? Why? Why is that? I hated the Flyers. That's stupid. That's stupid. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Do the Bruins have one?
Yeah, they do. They have some big operatic thing. I'm not sure what the name of it is.
And I think is Chicago's that goes, oh, or whose is that? Is that Rangers?
I have no
idea. That's not Chicago's.
That's Rangers, I think. Chicago has something very similar.
Chicago's the one that was on the Amstel light beer commercial.
Oh, God.
The Chelsea Dagger one, right?
Well, it sucks.
Wow. Yeah, Chelsea, right there.
Well yeah. never mind.
The only goal song that should ever be allowed, Brass Bonanza. Thank you very much.
No, overrated.
What's Brass Bonanza?
Hartford
Whalers old theme song.
Anybody want to hum that for me, put them on the spot?
Oh, you don't want me to start to sing stuff.
Oh, come on, Kelly.
No way.
I'm going to have to look that up.
The Bruins goal song is Kerncraft 400.
Wonderful.
The craft work.
Whoops.
The new.
I don't know if you can hear that.
No. That's it. Don't play. Don't even worry about it. No.
I didn't mean to put that up.
That's okay. No, but yeah, the Flyers used to have Derp. Well, I think it was Doop.
Shut up! Which transferred over to the MLS.
Oh, my. Just keep it in the MLS. That's great. Good for you. At least the MLS fans at interact.
Yeah.
Which brings up another point. You all know how we are a non-biased show here at Obey the yesterday, the Pittsburgh Rangers game with the national anthem. The rest of the NHL franchises and fans have to take a lesson from Pittsburgh because all 20,000 were singing along to that, and it sounded awesome.
Well, they do that in most of the Canadian cities.
Well,
system.
It's a better song.
Well, it's much
God keep our legs.
It's much easier to sing because it was a song as opposed to a poem.
Glorious and free. Rangers are now down 2-0.
Oh.
Yes, Jokinen right out of the box. Well, let's get back. Let's get to the track. Kelly, I don't know who I'm sitting next to anymore. Kelly, you got some junior stuff. Let's get that out. Let's knock that out first. Junior playoffs are going on.
Yeah, the junior championship round has begun in the Q. It's Baie-Comeau versus Val-d'Or. They haven't actually played a game yet, so that one is tied 0-0. In the Ontario Hockey League, it's North Bay versus Guelph, and that's 1-1. And in the Western Hockey League, it's Portland versus Edmonton for the third year in a row, and Portland is up 2-0 in that series.
So how does it look? Who are you going with right now? Too tough?
Man, I don't know. Well, Guelph was the powerhouse during the season, but Portland's been on a roll for 2 series now. It's going to be interesting come Memorial Cup time for the junior teams.
Yeah.
And then you throw London in there.
I was going to say, yeah.
That's going to be a great tournament. I'm looking forward to watching that.
What a great scam that is, huh? You host the Memorial Cup championship, and no matter how lousy your team is, you get to go to the championships.
Well, exactly.
But look at it this way. If you have a horrible team, you get your butt handed to you.
Well, and it's an interesting point. My father's made the point many times because he's not a big hockey fan, but he loves football and baseball and even some basketball. He often says that going into the playoffs, he will pick the team that's healthy over the better team a lot of the time. So a lot of times these junior teams that host that have no chance in their playoff, you know, in the league playoff, they get 2 months off and they come into a tournament well rested against teams that have been playing their hearts out for weeks on end. So it's interesting.
I think it's an interesting way. I like the way they do that. More minor, like real
single A
hockey news, unless you had something else. I know you're big on you, Kelly. For those and Paul, I don't know how much you are at this either. You both coming from liking minor leagues and other leagues. Kelly, I can name an arena, which I never followed up on, but I'm going to have to go back to the random arena quiz tonight each week. Just name a random arena, and she'll name 4 hockey teams. So she knows hockey teams you've never, ever heard of, which is never, ever good because it's jobs getting lost. And today, you always said it to me when the Atlantic City Boardwalk Bullies came out with the fourth year anniversary or the fifth?
Fourth.
When the fourth year anniversary schedule came out, you said, next year they're not going to be there. The Mississippi Surge this year, we're celebrating five years. And that was it. They're gone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. They're trying to stay in Biloxi.
Yeah, Biloxi it's one of those things. They had a great thing going with the Seawolves in the ECHL. The Seawolves were a powerhouse team. They were in the playoffs most of the time. They broke my heart as a Richmond Renegade fan one year when they won the Kelly
right
Cup
up.
Over the Richmond team. And back in the days when I was sitting at my computer just refreshing the page because I didn't have an audio feed of any kind on the internet. It was tied up and all of a sudden it wasn't tied up. That was a real solid franchise, and then Hurricane Katrina came through, and I mean everyone heard about what happened in New Orleans, but Biloxi nearly took a direct hit from Katrina, and that area was wiped out. The fact that they recovered enough in time to put the Surge into play only a couple of years later was pretty impressive. I hate to see that area lose hockey again, but I'm convinced they'll be another ownership group someone will try it again there.
Is it too far over for hockey to survive out there?
No, I don't think so. I think the Southern Professional League does it right. They haven't gone crazy with expansion. They tend to bring in teams that they think are going to be a good fit and that have solid markets in place. And,
right.
and they don't try to grow too fast. It's kind of like what the original East Coast Hockey League did. It was just small, you know, it was a small group of teams, and they kept trying to build on solid ground. And, you know, they keep the expenses real low and travel. They try to keep it pretty logical. Bloomington was the outlier this year, and they're gone anyway. So I hope another group will bring hockey back to Biloxi because there is a fan base there.
You go to some of these games, and there's they'll fill an arena at these little, in some people's mind, insignificant hockey leagues. They'll fill that sucker. I mean, because they got no other hockey to go to, and you got hockey fans.
Well, yeah.
Yes, hockey is popular. Back and forth.
Well, it's just like minor league baseball. I mean, it's a cheap night out for a family relative to just about anything. I mean, it's cheaper to go to a hockey game in most instances than it is to take family of four or five to see a movie these days. So.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, they don't charge, like, you go to a Flyers game, they're charging $25-$30 to park. A lot of these arenas, they're not charging $50. You know, you could take $50 and still buy a dog or something.
It's a cheaper night out.
This is for everybody, because I'm assuming Paul had no idea the Surge existed.
I did.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about them, but I knew they were there.
Okay. The only reason why I know these things is because of the spatch next to me here, the A spatch.
Actually, the Surge were a news item on Stadium Journey. That's how I knew what Kelly was talking about.
Ah, there you go. That worked. Do we recall off the top of the head what kind of rating that arena got?
Oh, no, I just recall the news item saying that they were ceasing operations.
I tried to break that.
I believe they're still in the Gulf Coast Arena, which was what the Seawolves played in, and it sustained some damage.
I'm going to go to stadiumjourney.com right now and find out. Okay. Mississippi Coast.
Gulf Coast Coliseum. Actually, I don't know if it might have been Mississippi Coast. Okay.
Yeah, on Beach Boulevard. Yep. The rating, that's not bad, 3.9 on Stadium Journey. Look at the low one. Oh, return on investment and extras. All right, so they do charge a lot there. Anyway, erase everything I just said. we're going to one more piece of main AHL tidbit, and then we'll get into the NHL, the thing everybody wants to talk about.
Yeah, I think to talk about the AHL playoffs.
That's playoffs is the main event, both of them.
Oh, okay. I just thought that would be a segue.
I sent you the format.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about the format. I'm kidding about breaking your chops. Something I'm very happy about, and only because the last couple of years being a huge fan of the Phantoms, they were obviously, we've talked about it, they were in Glens Falls, they were the Adirondack Phantoms. They're leaving, going back local to Philly.
Relatively,
45-minute drive. They're still better than Glens Falls. Brand new arena. They're going to be the Lehigh Valley Phantoms next year. What's the Calgary Flames? What the hell?
Abbotsford.
Thank you. Abbotsford Heat.
The Heat are moving to the vacant Glen Falls. I'm not going to correct myself every time my singular the plural. They're moving to the Glens Falls arena, right?
Civic Center.
I get these all mixed up, and I'm looking at the article, looking at the word Civic Center, and I can't spit it out. They're going to be in the Adirondack something or other for the next season. I got excited about that. But then, Kelly, and you and Paul can elaborate this, you brought what up?
Well, no,
you brought it up on the show a couple weeks ago.
No, Paul brought it up, which I knew nothing about.
That's what
about,
I said. Paul brought it up.
The fact that the evil Western Conference teams are planning to take their affiliations and move them to the West, which makes perfect sense. It sucks if that does come to be. It sucks for the people of Glens Falls to go through this again, but I'm glad to see them have a team this year. It'll be a good thing in the long run. I just hope that they stick with it and wind up with a long-term team there for that town.
Big shout out to one of our. I looked at our numbers the other day. We got a lot more listeners in Canada than we do in the States. So, hi, Canadian folks, with an A, not an E. That's the Canadians. Another shout out to the dean of HIEC Talk Radio Network and the credibility. Just kidding, bro. But Claude would like to correct you. It's Guelph.
Guelph?
Yeah.
Whatever.
No.
I tried.
It's Canadian. Do it right.
I tried. I looked up the pronunciation of Baie-Comeau.
I was going to. That's pretty good. I was going to say Guelph, and that's only because we interviewed a female wrestler who was from Canada who was on the Guelph Thunder, she said, when she played hockey. She's from Canada, and she said Guelph, so I said, well, she said it. That's obviously correct. But I didn't say anything. Let somebody else correct you. Get on your hot plate. I don't care. So are you both worried about the fact that this might be a move for a year, and then eventually they're going to disappear back to the West? Paul, what do you think?
Like I said before, don't hold your breath on that whole Western movement. It's been rumored for, as long as I can remember thinking. And it's a big topic out here because aside from Providence, if the teams do move West, it's going to affect most of the teams in New England. But the agreement between Calgary and Glens Falls is a 3-year contract with 2 more option years.
Yes.
So they'll be there for at least 3.
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Great. Do we have, because the page I have from the official AHL site doesn't go over a lot of details. Is there any other details as far as any sort of name or whatever?
No, I haven't heard anything, right. But what I would guess, if I had a dollar to bet, and I don't, by the way, but I would guess that they're going to go with the Adirondack Flames and bring back the old Atlanta Flaming A logo.
Oh, that'd be sweet. I always get one up with hockey fans up in the Northeast. Not all of them, but a lot of them where I go, hey, you know the Calgary Flames? You know that A for the alternate captain? You know what town that used to be for? Atlanta. They were in Atlanta? Yep. Atlanta doesn't work for hockey. It's place. Just saying.
3 strikes, you're out.
3 strikes, yeah. 3 strikes. Batman, knock it off.
See, if they go with the A Flame logo for their main logo, I think they should have to have a thrasher to indicate who's the assistant captain.
I'll let Paul laugh on that one. Yeah, by himself.
And this is why I don't get to make decisions.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, I'm better off of you not reading the format. Any final thoughts on Glens Falls getting another hockey team?
I'm very happy for them. 3 years is great, and I hope it works out long term for them because I like having them in the league. That's a cool thing.
This is why I wanted Paul. One of the reasons why I wanted Paul. He fills in the hole that we dig a bunch of holes, fill them in, and the other holes we don't fill in the hole. He comes in with the rest of the tidbits. He knew 3 years, and thank God he's here.
Yeah,
makes us credible.
He's got the fan club connections.
By the way, we'll do this at the bottom of the show, but I would like to personally extend a thank you to you, Paul, and to the official fan club of the AHL, Providence Bruins, because they've done what, Paul?
They have posted links to our podcast on the homepage of the fan club homepage.
Yeah.
So you can go directly to the Providence Bruins fan club homepage and check us out from there.
And the website for the AHL Bruins fan club.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, come on!
I got it. www.pbruinsfcforfanclub.org.
That, and we almost lost our affiliation right there.
I thought it, they were a soccer club, FC.
I knew it was fake. Get out of here. But I thank you, Providence Bruins. That's awesome. And I had this idea for a while, and if anybody who has any league, any hockey league, any level that has a fan club or a website where you want to do a switch for link for link or a podcast for link, whatever you want to do, contact us. obeythepuck@comcast.net. I had an idea brewing for a little while, and I was going to
It was brewing, huh?
It was brewing. You like that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Very funny.
Gotcha. That I kind of kept to myself until Paul, just out of nowhere, he was like, I got us on the Bruins front page. And I was like, oh, and I went to the page. I was like, yeah, yeah, we're right there. And the idea I was having was, the idea that was a Bruin was, I want to go to the you can't go to, like, the Washington Capitals and go, hey, can we get a link on your page? Well, how much money you got? Well, I got $2 in my pocket. But to reach out to these independent websites, the fan clubs and such, and cross-promote.
Mm-hmm.
So once Paul did that, I was like, I think that's the ball rolling. I think I'm going to start reaching out. Worst anybody can say is no.
That's true.
So if anybody hears this and got any connections...
Could be colorful.
I want this to eventually get interesting. You know what I'm saying?
Could be angry emails.
I don't care.
From angry promotion teams.
Angry emails can go to obeythepuck@comcast.net.
The angry emails are so much more fun than the boring happy ones.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a show right there.
Yes, I'll read them. Are you kidding? And there's your plug. As long as you link us, I read your email. Put in the subject line, angry.
Grr.
On to the main news. And I love how most of these teams are not waiting until the playoffs are over to make these announcements. The Panthers. I think they're starting their rebuild.
Again?
Quote, unquote. that's not nice. Peter Horacek, their head coach, has been fired. And he was given the interim tag after Kevin Nenead was fired.
Yeah.
So he didn't last very long. and we've mentioned it on the show before, so this is sort of a follow-up thing. I try not to go on to the side of, well, hockey will never work in Florida. I mean, who cares about hockey in Florida? But I think this team's in deep trouble. Does anybody not agree? Does anybody agree or disagree with me, Paul? First,
I agree totally with you. It's never really attracted the following that it needs to. Let's get it up to Quebec City or somewhere like that where people will care.
Now, do you think? And then Kelly, I'll go to you. Do you think hockey in Florida can last a long amount of time?
Not on the major league level. I just don't think there's the groundswell. Once they told people they couldn't throw those plastic rats on the ice, I really don't think they recovered from that.
Why can't we throw plastic rats on the ice?
It's like anything in Miami. Win and people will show up. Don't win and there's a million other things to do in Miami.
Yeah, fantastic point. I don't think any of the pro sports is really, except for the Dolphins, have ever really grabbed a foothold down there. There's
Buccaneers?
Any other things to do.
That's a whole other part of the state.
Tampa
Bay is quite a ways away from...
That's what I'm saying. So the Lightning can survive.
Well, the Lightning...
That's what I was
the Lightning can survive.
For.
And guess what the Lightning have done that the other team in Florida hasn't done
won
recently?
A championship?
Well, they won a Stanley Cup, but they've also been somewhat competitive the last 2 or 3 years. I mean, there was quite a fall-off for a while there, but they've been relatively competitive the last couple of years. So, and people show up, The Cup certainly helped with the fan base there, but...
And that's... Listen, that's great. I just don't understand... I mean, I know why he's doing it, but I don't understand why Batman can't figure out, dude, money's in Canada, too.
It's U.S. TV ratings. You got to have a team in Miami, because it's...
Hey, let's give him a Winter Classic. I'm sure that'll get up in the ratings. That makes a lot of sense.
They'll try it before they move that team. I guarantee you.
Guarantee there's going to be a Stadium Classic in Florida this coming season. I guarantee it.
Okay.
Well, they tried it on the West Coast. They'll stick it in another hot spot.
I think they tried it on the West Coast because of the recent success for L.A. and Anaheim. Playoff-wise.
Still talking about changes. I didn't want to elaborate. I just, you know, My best, my favorite, not really, coach ever in hockey was fired already. John the D-bag Tortorella. Gone. 86. See you later. He's out of there. What is Vancouver? What are they going to do in Vancouver? What the hell do they got to do? Do you just wipe out the whole front office and start again, or?
I don't think that's an option there.
Well, why not?
I don't know, but I think the window is closed for Vancouver. I mean, they were very close, and they fell short, and they haven't been that close since. I don't know.
It's been years. Paul, how about your thoughts on Vancouver, man?
If that window's not closed already, it's not open by much. I think you're going to see the slide into mediocrity and maybe a couple more desperate moves, but I don't think they're going to be relevant for a whole lot longer.
Did anybody think when they signed, I mean, I didn't think it was a good idea. When we talked about it earlier in the show, when Torts got hired, did anybody think that was going to fly? Either one of you?
No.
Not with the makeup of that team, no.
Why would you bring him into that mixture of players? That made no sense whatsoever. Just from a very top level philosophy thing, that made no sense. He wasn't going to get that group that hadn't changed and for the most part had not changed in several years to buy into his system overnight. The Sedins were not going to block shots. I don't care how much he yelled and screamed. I didn't see it working. And apparently it didn't, because that team seemed to be a mess from about the halfway point on.
Now, you were very worried because as soon as I mentioned Tortorella got fired, what's the first thing you said? But Washington.
I wasn't very worried. I just threw out there that if they hired Tortorella here for D.C., I was never going to watch another Caps game.
Ever?
Well,
after?
As long as he was the coach. I thoroughly dislike that man on, like, every level. I just don't like him. I don't like the brand of hockey he has his teams play. Yeah, they won a cup in Tampa, but I don't like it. I don't want to watch it, and I don't care to see him screaming and yelling every game and then doing horrible press conferences. I don't care.
It's not that he's – it's not the D-bag so much. He is an asshole. Pardon me. I don't feel like editing that. I'm cursing. He's an a-hole.
Well, that's – his philosophy is I'll be the jerk. The whole team can unite behind hating me.
Or they could just ignore your butt and play like crap. I'm not responding to this jerk.
Well, that would be what the Rangers did eventually. But
Vancouver doesn't just suck that bad. They just were like, I can't play like this. And that Calgary Vancouver game, where the goal now I can't. I'm blanked on his name. Goaltender throat slash. Back in the 80s. The goaltender that got a throat slash back in the
80s.
Oh, Malarchuk. Thank you. I can never remember his name. Tried to go after him in the hallway because Torch was trying to get in the Calgary locker room. You look like an idiot. You made your team look stupid.
No, see, I don't think the team looks stupid. I think he looks stupid.
And then, they tried the same thing against Philly. The Philly just stayed out there, and you said the same thing. They're going to switch up real quick.
Yeah, exactly. He put his tough guys out against Philadelphia, and Philadelphia left their first line on the ice. And guess what they did as soon as that puck dropped? They switched. I think the bag of tricks he has is all used up. I don't really see him. If he can find a job with a team that's got a bunch of young guys who are willing to buy into what he's selling, then maybe it will work. Especially some guys who apparently played for Patrick Waugh and juniors, where they just were berated constantly. maybe that'll work.
Who do you say? Who did you say back to Washington real quick made that decision to trade Halak already? Because there's no GM.
The assistant GM made the trade.
We don't remember his name, right?
I have no idea what the assistant GM. It's
I
been 17 years of one GM. I have no idea who the assistant GM is.
Do you know if the answer, if it's just a straight regular no, I'll move right on. Do you know if they're looking to just move him up, or are they just going to keep him at assistant, move right on into a new GM?
No idea.
No idea. I just was wondering. I have no idea. I don't know. More changes. And do we compare Carolina? Are they as bad off as the Florida Panthers?
No.
Okay, good. Because I guess you pronounce it Mueller, or is that Mueller? It's
Kirk Mueller.
Mueller, thank you. Mueller was, was he here? He was in Carolina 2-3 years. They relieved him of his coach's duties as well. And they also got rid of both their assistant coaches. So that was a straight up front, the top of the office of the coaching team. Get out of here.
Can't fire the players.
Yeah, you can't fire the players. Yeah. I'm just thankful they can't have Brandon Moore.
They moved the GM. Rutherford stepped aside,
yeah.
And now what's his name?
Ron Francis.
Ron Francis is the GM, so he makes the call on the coaches. The name that surprised me in that was Dave Lewis. I didn't realize Dave Lewis wound up as an assistant coach in Carolina after being the head coach in Detroit.
I didn't know John McLean was there.
Lewis was actually the head coach in Boston for a disastrous season after he left Detroit.
Oh, is that where he went after Detroit?
For 1 year, and then it was just awful, and they brought in Julien. They got rid of Lewis and brought in Julien, and you
got
saw
better.
It happen. Yeah.
I got better. Like I said, they're keeping Rod Brindamore. So for a second there when this was announced, like, hey, bring him back to Philly. And that's not happening. And now I'm kind of worried about, we're talking about upper office. I'm worried about the fact that Holmgren's keeping his job in Philly so far that Hextall is going to want to go somewhere to one of these teams that are looking for a GM. Like, don't you dare let him go again, you moron. Don't you dare, my Ron Hextall.
I don't know how a guy who signed Breeze Galloff and Briere gets to keep his job.
I was, right? Right? It's not that, though. It's not that he signed him. It's that they bought their contract out.
No, it's the fact that he signed him to, what, a 9-year contract?
Well, okay, I get your point there. But the four last guys that they got rid of, they're still in the playoffs. Briere, Brizgalov, Mazaros. I forgot the other one. I think I was throwing Carcillo in there just for the hell of it. But he was in Chicago, and then he went to New York. But
Talbot,
thank you.
Talbot went out in the first round. There you go. Vindication. Keep him.
Vindiction. I still don't understand Downey for Talbot. Because Downey has helped a whole hell of a lot. Let me tell you. And so is whatever. Anyway, this is not a Flyers podcast. I won't get all the way on my soapbox. I'll step down. Step down for now. That's it for changes. Does anybody know of any other changes I have not mentioned so far?
Like you said, that's quite a bit for this point in the playoffs. We just got out of the first round.
That wasn't me, right? It was not just me. Usually that stuff waits until, right, season died down a little bit. We did this, 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 and this. But this is like throwing this out there. I guess while the going is still getting good, I guess.
It's kind of like football. Football, you know, the day after the season, they call it Black Monday because every coach that doesn't make the playoffs gets fired. Maybe that's what the NHL is turning into.
Oh, God, please, the hockey, don't be football.
They're just trying to provide a copy for the NHL Network so they can stay on 24/7.
Oh, my God. Stop it.
And discuss these guys have been fired. Let's now talk about who could possibly fill the coach's role for the next 8 or 9 hours. Based on nothing, actually.
It's almost like CNN's coverage of the Malaysian airline.
But they have holograms. At least that's kind of interesting.
Well, the NHL doesn't have hologram-type money.
Not yet.
A couple more stadium classics. Hey, we could buy a big virtual reality room and Neil deGrasse Tyson can walk around and talk about the aerodynamics of a puck.
Yeah, we're not getting Tyson.
We wouldn't be that lucky.
No, Tyson would go to the NFL at this point.
I mean, I'd like rather talk about football than hockey.
He's big money. I don't know who we would get from. Maybe Bill Nye.
Who we could get Bill Nye?
That'd be cool. I'm cool with that. But
we, as in, because we're part of the NHL, that's why I'm making tons of money.
No, I'm speaking as an NHL. I think we could get him.
All
Mr.
right.
Wizard is dead, right? Mr. Wizard
died. Mr. Wizard unfortunately died.
Okay.
Had the best theme song out of ever.
I would have voted for him if he was still alive.
He's the reason why I know battery works. Anyway, back on track, Kill. Track.
Hi.
Let's kind of keep this on track.
Oh, okay.
I was debating whether mentioning this, and we'd be kind of stupid to not mention this. Racism sucks. We're going to start a conversation off like this. Let's tiptoe around this, shall we? I don't know, and Paul, I know this was close to you being the big Bruins fan you are, so I'll go to you first. Subban had an amazing game in game one of the second round, Boston Bruins versus the Montreal Canadiens. I really should pronounce that Canadiens, but. And I don't understand. If you want to be a racist in private, all right. As long as nobody around you know what a scumbag idiot you are, no problem. I don't understand the mentality of a man or a woman to go on to social media and just flat out type the vile, disgusting BS that was put out there on the interwebs after PK Subban had an amazing game. And basically, yeah, he won it for the Montreal Canadiens in that first game. Right on the footsteps of this NBA Donald Sterling BS, which we're not even going to talk about, just throwing the N-word out there and the references to bananas and all this other crap just floored me. And I have to say this, I had to laugh at the stupidity. I wasn't laughing because it wasn't funny. I wasn't laughing because it was funny. I was laughing because it was unbelievably stupid that this was happening. And unfortunately, Boston Bruins fans in general got the majority of the heat back. Paul, take it from here. How's it going over there in Massachusetts?
Well, first of all, PK Subban is an incredible talent, and the only reason we hate him up here in Boston is because he's so damn good and he's on the Canadiens.
Right.
But a little historical context. If you can remember, a couple of years ago, the Bruins played the Capitals in the first round. Series went to seven games, and Joel Ward ended up scoring the game winner in overtime. And the same type of thing happened. There was a lot of accusations of racist tweets going on the interweb and everything, and it turned out to be a total of seven Twitter accounts making all these racist comments. And most of them were not even from the New England area. Most of them were from Western Canada.
So it's seven people. They're just really racist.
Yeah, I guess. Oh. this year, the same kind of thing happened. And a Twitter person that I follow by the name of Obnoxious Boston Fan did some digging into this. And if what he says is true, there were actually only a total of 10 tweets that were directed at Subban using the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens on the Internet, you throw something out there, and it's there for everyone to see. So if you post it and somebody picks it up and posts it and all their followers see it, it kind of blows up.
Yeah.
So the actual truth was that it wasn't a giant section of the Bruins fandom that was doing this. It was a very small minority. And of those 10 tweets, this obnoxious Boston fan traced them down. Four actually came from outside New England. One came from Norway.
What?
And he said he claims that three of them came from people who were not even identifying themselves as Bruins fans. Now, where this really seems to have blown up, there was a soccer player for the Montreal what's the league, soccer league? MLS.
MLS.
Yeah, yeah, Montreal soccer player picked it up, and he retweeted about the racist stuff. And since he's a pro athlete, he had a lot of followers, and that's where it got picked up. A Detroit newspaper picked it up that the N-word was trending in Boston, when actually this was, it's one of those things where social media kind of overblows something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not condoning what any of these people said. They're total idiots. And
white,
you know, who knows what color they are, because, you know, you're faceless on the Internet. You can post whatever you want pretty much without repercussion on Twitter.
Very true. Very true.
So the great thing is about it, P.K. Subban's reaction to this whole thing. He put out a statement saying that it was completely unfair for anybody to point the finger at the Bruins organization or at their fan base. He talked about how passionate the fans are here and how great the fans are, and that he's never really heard a lot of negativity directed towards him.
Mm.
And I actually pulled up the exact quote. Said, what people may say on Twitter and social media is not a reflection by any means of the league or the Boston Bruins. He says his family has always gone to Boston and traveled there several times and have always been treated very well. So
that was...
I commend PK for how he handled it, and no matter what you may think of him on the ice, it's really clear that off the ice, he's got a really good head on his shoulders.
And that was the second point I was going to bring up, which I was getting to, and you went beautifully into the point. And I saw a lot of people, because I saw a lot of people from my days in Philly, in the Philly area, who were just throwing it all at the Boston Bruins and their fans. I'm like, hey, whoa. It's not Boston. It's not. People were saying, well, the Bruins have to take responsibility. The hell they do. They don't have to take responsibility for a pair of dumbasses on the behind their computer with internet muscle says. You know what I mean? And two, the whole fan base of Boston is not racist because of four or five people saying the most repugnant crap out there. Yes, I stole that from Samuel L. Jackson. Social media is a great, great thing, but it's stuff like this. I've said it 100 times on the other show, and I'll say it again. Just because you have a voice does not mean you should use that voice.
I think part of the other problem now is because people get how Twitter works, you've got people who are waiting for these kind of things to happen, and when they do, they're the ones who facilitate the retweet and the passing it on and getting it outside of outside of someone's followers and letting it build up steam. They're just waiting for this kind of thing to happen. And there's always going to be stupid people who do this stuff. But there seem to be those who are just lying in wait for it to happen, and then they get the chance to pounce on it and then make these grand proclamations against entire cities, regions, fans, teams, whatever they want to do. Whatever they want to do with it, they kind of just jump on the chance and run with it.
Absolutely. They're like the kids in the playground are like standing on the side when two people start to argue, going, oh, you're going to let him say that to you, and really pour gasoline on the fire.
Yeah, and there's people who enjoy that much more than anything else.
On a very minor level, a basic level, it happens with Crosby. There are people, specifically in the Philly area, that are waiting for him to do something quote-unquote stupid. Or for Pierre Maguire, I hate Pierre Maguire. Let's not even confuse this for any likeness for Pierre Maguire at all. For him or one of them to just mention the name, or for Crosby to do something that everybody else in the league does, dive. And Subban was also getting that, too. Oh, you did everybody on the Canadiens a diver. First of all, any fan listening to this, and if you never listen to the show again, fine. If you sit there and you criticize your team, you criticize another team without realizing that everybody on your team does the same S, you're a terrible hockey fan. Please do something else. I joke around. Oh, he's a Hartnell dives, pal. Giroux fakes an injury. Every time you get hit, you're taught to go down. I believe maybe Paul and I were having the conversation going to the discussion of embellishment. you should be penalized for it somehow now.
Yeah, the biggest disservice I think they're doing, there is a penalty on the books for embellishment, but you never see it called all by itself.
Mm-mm.
You see the hook and the embellishment. Man, if you're diving, that means it wasn't a penalty to begin with, and you shouldn't be calling matching. It should be single a guy out who dives, who embellishes, send him to the box, and that's how you're going to make it go away.
That's what Kelly was saying the other last night. You were saying if the embellishment gets called, that wipes out the other penalty. Sorry, over. You go back on the ice, you do, you're in the box. Period. End of story.
That, and Paul's right. That's the only way you want to cut, you're never going to get rid of it. You're never going to get rid of guys trying to draw the penalty on something that they really weren't hurt on, or they really actually weren't tripped or whatever. There's always going to be that. But if you want to cut down on everyone every time they get hit with a stick or someone's leg hits theirs, if you want to cut down on that, you've got to call the embellishment by itself and penalize these guys for this, and maybe you can put a dent in it and get it back under control or make it somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, it's and I mean, to go back to the original discussion, you're right. There's people that just lay in wait for somebody to do something stupid and they call it off. It's like every Philly fan is a jerk and a scumbag. No, we're not. Not all of us. I know a guy who is the biggest New York Rangers fan. Matt, if you're listening, hi. We can have a conversation, even when we're playing each other, where he knows I won't go, you're a bunch of diving, and he can do the same with me. We can have an intelligent conversation. And then while we're having the conversation, some other guy walk in and go, all New York teams suck. Go back to the kiddie pool you were playing in, please. The adults are having a conversation. It's just social media, as Paul put it beautifully again, I'm not condoning anything those people said. It's horrible, and we should find you and give you a punch to the gut.
A little lower than the gut, perhaps.
Maybe a little lower. A nice falcon punch. But not everybody – it's not Boston, folks. It's not even – it's just – social media just kind of blew this up bigger than it was. And, again, to wrap this up in a nice bow, Subban handled it beautifully. My only other point is do these morons realize that Subban's brother is in, he's on the Providence Bruins. He's on the minor league team, you morons.
Funny story about that. The night of game two, the Canadians played in the afternoon, 12:30 in the afternoon. Great scheduling. Thank you, NHL, on that one.
Well.
And then Providence played Springfield in the deciding game five, and Malcolm was the starting goalie for the Providence Bruins. So the Subban parents came down from Montreal and ended up catching both their sons' games. And I actually had the pleasure of bumping into them.
That's great.
At the Springfield Civic Center, and they're very nice people. So they've done a great job, you know, raising a couple of well-adjusted boys. And I heard a story that Mr. Subban, their father, saw a shirt being sold outside of the Garden with the Canadiens diving team with PK's number 76 on the back, and he thought it was the best thing ever and picked up a couple of them.
So that's a guy who gets it. He gets it. I do think that shirt's funny. I hate the people that take it too far and go, my team is perfect. You are a clueless idiot. I'm sorry. you're an idiot. Real quick question.
But not my team, right? My team is perfect.
Yeah, when Obi plays defense, he'll be perfect. Sure. Right. Anyway,
there was that Tuesday.
Freaking Obi, freaking Beagle. Freaking Obi. That's all I have to say. There was that what?
There was that one glorious Tuesday.
Where he's like,
yeah, Ovechkin played defense. It was glorious.
You guys are...
We lost 7-4.
That's beautiful.
But he blocked a shot, so there you go.
He blocked a shot and he heard
minus
it.
Two.
He only had minus two. That's beautiful. I can't concentrate now. Hold on. Paul, my quick question for you is I've been up to Springfield a bunch of times up there in Massachusetts. Where is the Civic Center in relation to the Amtrak station? Let me rephrase that. Where is the Civic Center in relation to the Hippodrome?
Where's the Hippodrome?
Oh, crap. It's right next to the Amtrak station.
I don't know. I've always driven to Springfield. So.
Gah!
And I feel bad. I wrote the Springfield Civic Center review for a
stadium
journey. I think it's about a mile away, honestly.
From the railroad tracks, yeah. Because I used to go up to that part of Massachusetts all the time. Another story for another show. Anyway, getting down to business. Oh, any final thoughts on Subban and social media? Moving on. We hit the points beautifully, and that's all I wanted to do. Now, down to business. The first order of business, the AHL playoffs. First of all, speaking of the AHL playoffs, how did that Springfield-Providence game go there, Paul?
That was the goofiest first period I think I've ever seen in my life. After one period, it was 4-3. Both starting goalies had gotten pulled.
Hmm.
Providence ended up pulling out the game. 6-3, I think, was the final score.
It was 3-0, right?
It was 3-1.
Oh, it was 3-1. Jeez.
Yeah. And so in the Eastern Conference of the AHL, all three division winners were eliminated in the first round.
Now, the complete opposite, Kelly, what happened on the West Coast?
Top four seeds went through in the West Coast.
Right. So it's pretty much the brackets right now is the Stars and the Griffins, the Wolves and the Marlies, and on the East Coast we got the Ice Caps and the Admirals and the Baby Pens and the Baby Bears, as I call them. The baby.
No, don't call them the Bears.
Baby
That's
Bruins. I changed it. Baby Bruins. Baby Bruins.
They're not Baby Bears. Just the Bears.
The Bruins. They're minor.
The Bears.
They're minor.
No, Bears.
The Bears. The Bears. So how do you feel about the series? I'll go to Paul first. How do you feel about the Providence Scranton?
This is vengeance. Last year they met in the second round. Providence went up 3-0 and blew it. So,
Oh, man. So
it's nice to have another shot at him.
Heck yeah, and for this next week or so, I'm a huge Bruins fan, so go Providence!
I will say this, though. We always talk about logos and jersey. I think the Wilkes-Barre Scranton jersey is pretty sharp compared to their main team. I like it better than that.
The old
steroid penguin?
Yeah, steroid penguin.
The 25. The 15, what is it 15 years or 25 years?
I have no idea what you're
talking about. It's a jersey that's a modified Penguins jersey.
Oh, they're celebrating their 15th year.
Instead of it being predominantly black, it's predominantly gold. And I think it's sharp looking. I really like that jersey.
They've changed their jersey. Now, the logo's changed a bit, and they've modified it here or there, but they've changed their jersey, I think, every single year.
I just realized what you said, the steroid penguin. He does look like...
Oh, yeah, he popped up on steroids.
It looks like mid-'80s Hulk Hogan penguin.
Yeah.
how about Kelly and Paul, what about the Ice Caps and the Admirals?
Go Ice Caps. That's all I got.
Really? Against the Admirals?
Oh, I hate Norfolk.
Admirals snuck in as the 8 seed, so it was a pretty big upset for them to take care of Manchester. Manchester looked really like they rolled through the regular season.
Weren't they
that was a pretty big upset.
They were the Monarchs were the number one seed in that division.
Yes, they were.
Yeah.
Stars and Griffins. Fall first.
Texas is rolling, man. They're as close to a sure thing as you're going to get in the minor leagues.
Really? So they should have switched players, the two teams, Dallas and Texas.
Well, that's the thing. And Texas just got anybody who was eligible
to
came back down. So they're even more packed than they were in the first round.
Texas Stars have a cup?
No, they do not.
Okay.
They've made the finals once.
It was against the Bears.
Of
course.
They scared the crap out of us, but we came back. But they're a very good team. I don't know. It's tough to discount the defending champions, and they're still in it. So,
real quick, I have a theory about the Hershey Bears. I don't think they're going to win another cup while they have the anorexic bear. Moving on. The final one is the Chi-Town Wolves and the Marlies.
Mm.
Now, you thought the Wolves weren't going to make it. They were on elimination.
Well, I was pulling for Rochester, but Toronto took care of business in the first round. They've been rolling for a little while there too, so that one could be interesting. I don't know that much about Chicago this year. Chicago is always a powerhouse in the West, so
Yeah, the Wolves were the only Western team to struggle in the first round, the only team that made it through, and they got pushed to five by Rochester. And Toronto's been on a good roll, but, you know, it's minor league. Anything can change. And Chicago always seems to come through in the playoffs somehow.
Who's Chicago affiliated with now? Are they they're not Vancouver anymore, are they?
No, they were Vancouver for a long time.
They'll get you. Hold on.
They were Atlanta. They were Vancouver.
I feel much shame that I don't know this right away.
I got you.
They bumped. Oh, they're the Blues.
The Blues.
Oh, okay.
So
that's right. The Blues were Peoria. Peoria left, and they went.
That's so anybody with the Blues.
Yeah, I was just. I couldn't remember who they were. They bounced around in the recent past to a couple of teams, and it's at least that one geographically makes sense.
Weren't they in another league first?
They were in the
IHL, yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
International.
I don't know why I remember that.
They were part of the international.
The six teams that came over from the IHL to the AHL back around 2000 or so.
2002.
Do we have that list? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes,
Milwaukee, Grand Rapids, Chicago.
You nerd. Peoria. No, Peoria wasn't in the IHL.
Oh, what's Peoria?
They had been.
Come on, guys. You're on the clock.
Kalamazoo.
They
weren't in there. They had been, but weren't.
Actually, a couple of the teams are no longer. Like Manitoba was one of them.
Cincinnati, the Cyclones, but they dropped out.
The Cyclones were never in the AHL. The Mighty Ducks were in the AHL.
No, they were.
The Cyclones were in for 1 year, but they didn't. They didn't transfer over. They were in that last group, though.
Was it with that terrible logo? Or was it with the new one?
The new one.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of the teams.
The goofy-looking psycho goalie.
No. They got rid of that early on.
All right, well, any final thoughts on the AHL playoffs so far?
I wish I could see it.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I want to go down to the scope.
Why not?
A game, but...
At the Norfolk School. Well, then, moving on to the daddies. The NHL playoffs. Wow. Listen. Who thought... Did we really think when they advanced that Minnesota had a chance against Chicago?
Nope.
I did, but I'm a crazy optimist, and I've been a Minnesota fan, so...
Do you think if they didn't put Rizgalov in, they'd have a better chance?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Paul?
Nope.
Nope.
They have just looked totally overmatched so far. We'll see what a change in scenery does for them. But the first two games in Chicago, man, they just looked overmatched.
And I jokingly said it on Twitter, but I'm serious. I'm back to seeing Brizgalov in Brizgalov form, where I don't think he knows how to play.
They're a very different team in front of him than they are in front of Kemper.
But he's injured.
No, I know that. I'm simply stating what I witnessed when I watched the game.
Yeah, no, I'm agreeing with you.
They're a very different team in front of Kemper because they think Kemper at least has a 50-50 shot of stopping one of their mistakes. I don't think they have any confidence that Brizgalov is going to stop something when they...
It's like the man is afraid of stopping the puck. It was mentioned when he was still in Philly, but I'm seeing it more. I'm like, why are you not getting... And stay in the net, dude. You don't need to go play the puck. You have trouble enough playing the puck in the net. Stay in the frickin' net. L.A. Kings and Anaheim. Wow.
That's great first
game.
Oh,
my God.
Heartbreaking.
Well, L.A. hasn't won. They're on now. They had a they took the first game, but, I mean, that puck dropped and it started. Paul, did you get to see any of that?
I saw little pieces of it, and I heard somebody make a comment that they have not seen any team show a greater will to win than the Kings have over the past week. And I can't argue with that statement.
They have been my favorite team to watch this last couple of games. I mean, they just, you can't kill them. And I stayed up that game where they started their comeback back against the Sharks, where they won like 7-1 or whatever the final goal was. But it was just like started up the steamroller and they were coming down, you were getting crushed and you're in the way. Just amazing. We'll save my favorite matchup in the East for last, but we got the game that's going on right now. We got Pittsburgh versus New York, and I'll tell you what. I'll start this off and go to Kelly and then go to Paul. What the hell happened to New York?
New York wasn't very good.
The reason why they beat the Flyers is because the Flyers didn't play defense, but go on.
The Flyers were worse than the Rangers. I don't think I've ever seen a playoff team with a worse power play than the Rangers. And I said that long before this streak is at whatever it is now.
30.
It's really bad.
31 or 32.
They're a mess. I said earlier when we were watching the game, I can't figure out how they even scored against Philadelphia on the power play.
Because our defense was worse. That's the only reason.
I think it came down to Emery on those. He was not good. Early on.
Was not that bad.
But they just look like a mess. When you're making Pittsburgh look good defensively, you know there's a problem.
Are you guys looking at the screen right this minute? Because they've got a very interesting graphic up. The Rangers tonight are playing their fifth game in 7 days. So maybe we've got a little fatigue factor going
on. That is something I mentioned. The NHL has been really weird with their scheduling. They did it during the Rangers-Flyers series. Like, they played a game off. Game off, off. Game, off, off, game, game. You are effing with mojo there, in my opinion. And the same. They just played last night, and they're playing again. They got to be tired. I mean, you can only be an athlete up to a point if you sleep. And I guarantee these dudes didn't sleep last night. I mean, I'm sure they slept, quote, unquote. But I'm sure they were like, hey, you can't go to sleep. If you would have asked me, well, we did. Last week I was saying Rangers got this. I don't think the Penguins can beat them. Looking at the teams live right now, what I'm seeing in my face, Rangers are in deep trouble. They're in deep doo-doo.
I don't know. I give up. They are a very bipolar team. They look fantastic and then they're horrible. Wow, they have 33 shots on goal tonight. Pittsburgh has 15 tonight.
Well, the first shot they did, the first shot Crosby took in the second period, whoop!
Well, yeah, it was a breakaway.
He was due. Crosby was due because he hadn't scored since 2013 in the playoffs. So he was due. So as soon as he grabbed the puck, I'm like, he's scoring crap. And then, of course, last but not least, we're in overtime now, folks. So thanks for sticking with us.
There's the graphic Paul was talking about. We're about a minute and a half behind because we're on the internet version of the...
Look at that. Game, Rangers. Game, off, game, off, game, game.
Yeah, that's a game six, a game seven in there. It's not like these are just regular old games in November.
I'm sorry, Paul. And then Pittsburgh was off, game, off, game. I don't know.
One of the benefits of wrapping up your series a little bit earlier.
Whatever. And then, of course, we got Boston and Montreal. And this is, again, last week I was saying Boston has this, and now I'm not so sure. Paul, I'll go to you first, Mr. Bruin.
Boston has this.
Okay.
the series is right where it should be. It's 1-1. Both teams have played well. I think Boston's had really the edge in play. Game one, they just didn't get the puck clock. They had so many chances, it just didn't hit the back of the net. And then in the third period yesterday, they got the luck. And so I think both teams won the game they should have lost and lost the game they should have won. But what's great now is now that the series is going back to Montreal, the war of words is beginning. I don't know if you guys heard what Michel Therrien said today about the Bruins. It says their style of play is to try to influence the refs and intimidate the refs. And he says that he thinks that the Bruins got away with a lot of things in the first two games. Now, if you look at the penalty minutes, so far the series, Boston's had 26 penalty minutes. Montreal's only had 18. power plays a 9-5 in favor of Montreal.
Well, shut up.
Can you imagine what it would look like if the refs were calling everything then, huh?
First of all, never mind. Go ahead, Kel. All right, Paul, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, and then Carey Price was saying that the Bruins got lucky the other day. So Tuukka Rask fired back. Well, you have to be good to be lucky. So it's starting to heat up. It's Montreal and it's Boston. It's fantastic stuff.
But this kind of stuff, well, I don't know about the coaches, but the stuff between the players, you know, is just, it's game stuff. And it's just going to, it's going to make that game even better.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think you need to do anything to add to the atmosphere. You're going to have over 20,000 people at Bell Center, and it's just, yeah, their most hated rivals coming into their home. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to actually see a game. I still haven't actually seen either game of the series, so game three will be the first game of the series I get to watch.
And just be thankful that game three was on a Tuesday and not a Monday, because, I don't know, this show probably would have taken on a lot different tone if the Bruins would have been playing live while the show was going on.
I want one of those games.
No, listen. Well, there's so many times the Flyers have been playing. Last week we were doing a show, and I was like, oh, I'm going to just keep this nice on air and mute the microphone going, ah! final thought. Anything else anybody would like to add before the show is over?
I was going to just mention quickly the ECHL playoffs.
Go for it.
Because they're in the second round. You've got, as always, Alaska is into the second round. They're playing Idaho. That series is tied 1-1.
Rob Murray couldn't win a playoff series in Boston for 10 years, and he goes to Alaska and starts winning cups.
Of course he did.
Man, Alaska, every year, they're one of those powerhouse teams in the East Coast, I guess because they're so isolated, they can bring the guys up and give them a house or a free moose or something. I don't know. Whatever they're offering up in Alaska, people are buying and staying there because they've built a little dynasty in the ECHL up there. Bakersfield versus Stockton is the other Western Conference series, and Bakersfield is up 2-0. In the East, you got Fort Wayne versus Cincinnati, and that's tied 1-1. Fort Wayne upset Reading, who was the top seed in the East. So Fort Wayne, as the 8 seed, goes through, and they're giving Cincinnati a run for their money right now. And then the other Eastern series is Greenville versus Wheeling, and Greenville is up 2-0.
The road warriors.
Shout out to my scatter friend Jason. He's a Greenville fan, and I know he's loving life right now because Wheeling is coming to Greenville for the next game. So,
does Greenville change the name of their team when they're at home?
No. They could be the growl, just, you know, for old time's sake.
With 8 R's?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, you spelled the name wrong. Put an extra R in there.
All I have to say is, what a rush. Any wrestling fan will get that one.
I love the Road Warriors logo. That's a great logo.
Yeah, but even the Road Warriors tag team in wrestling wore a hockey pad.
Well, that's what I thought. I was highly disappointed when Jason said that the team does not wear football pads with spikes on them. I was like, are you kidding me?
They wore hockey masks once out to the ring.
You could have the wrestling crossover with the...
How are their teams not red and black and the makeup is part of the logo?
I don't know.
That's genius.
If I was on the marketing team, that's what they would do, but... We've covered this before.
Yeah. We're not getting paid for that. One more time, shout out, Paul, to the Bruins, please.
Oh, the Providence Bruins Fan Club. Thank you very much for putting us on your homepage. Check it out at www.pbruinsfc.org. Some great people over there in the fan club.
And, Paul, plug away, and where can the people find you and plug away? I mean,
one place they can find me is in the new issue of Stadium Journey Magazine. It is out tomorrow, featuring a story by yours truly about the Patriots Day festivities that went down in Boston a few weeks ago. Subscriptions are available in both digital and hard copy forms. Check it out at Stadium Journey, and you can find me at PuckmanRI on the Twitter machine.
Kelly?
Sweet. As always, I am at Skid Central on the Twitter, and I fight for control of the Obey the Puck or Obey Puck Show on the Twitter.
You don't fight. You post whenever you want.
Yeah, well, occasionally.
Follow me on Twitter at Danwall83. And, of course, follow Paul, myself, and Kelly full-time, show-related at Obey Puck Show. Also, the Facebook page, facebook.com/obeythepuck. Anybody wants to email us, especially any of the independent websites or any of the minor league teams, at obeythepuck@comcast.net. Every Monday night at 9 o'clock right here on the HIAC Talk Radio Network. Find all of your radio network needs and posts at HIACTalkRadio.com. We will be back next Monday for another playoff week. And we never know. It might be short and sweet. But for Paul, for Kelly, I am Dan. We will see you next week. Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.